Until the president-elect reassures us or takes significant steps to separate his business holdings from his powers as president, we will be asked to believe that a man who has made his career out of making big deals, trumpeting his net worth, stoking his public persona, will just put all of that aside and think only about something called the American people after he's inaugurated in January. President-elect Trump was scheduled to hold a news conference today to address his many business-related conflicts of interest, but that's been postponed. According to officials, part of the Trump team, he will address those issues in January before he's inaugurated. But can he? Any one of his business interests would be a huge political scandal if discovered in the middle of another presidency. Take the former old post office, Trump International Hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. Does Trump have to dump it? The Trump Organization's response on Twitter is that his sons will run the business and he will make no new deals while in office. Then there is Secretary of State nominee Rex Tillerson, the CEO of ExxonMobil, who sanctioned oil development deals with Russia, could already be worth billions of dollars and billions more if the sanctions come off. Just to what degree are these conflicts from Trump and his cabinet already harming U.S. interests? And what are the consequences for a government that appears to be personally enriching itself through public service? It's a hard legal question, even for hardened cynics. Matthew T. Sanderson is an attorney for Kaplan and Drysdale and a Republican who has worked on the presidential campaigns of Senators John McCain, Rand Paul, and Governor Rick Perry.
In my mind, the only way to really handle this is to sell them to an outside party now. So, and that could involve either selling off individual assets, or more efficient would be to hold an initial public offering and basically put it on the stock market. And that way the public is able to buy and evaluate the company. And he would put the proceeds of selling all of his stock into a what's called a blind trust, where an independent trustee then has all of this money. And the trustee, independent of Mr. Trump, decides what to buy and sell. And so he would not have a picture into what kind of commercial interests he has on a regular basis. And that would divorce the government decision-making from the financial planning aspects of his personal finances.
Now, we should note that Trump has given absolutely no indication that he's willing to go this far, right?
That's right. So far, what he's saying is that he will turn over managerial responsibility to his children and to his executives. And he's calling this a blind trust, but it's just not credible to say that this is a blind trust.
He's their dad. I mean, they listen to their dad, and he's the boss, and he's the president. There's no blind there.
Yeah, it's a blind trust that is neither blind nor a trust. It doesn't do anything to solve his conflicts problem because, again, any favorable government decision, foreign government, domestic government agency, he would benefit personally. His net worth would go up anytime there's a favorable government decision.
Do you remember the era of Whitewater in the term of the of Bill Clinton in the 90s?
Yes.
And that was basically a land holding deal that supposedly was mixed up with government's favors and the possibility that Hillary and Bill Clinton would have been enriched by purchase of this land that they received on favorable terms. Nothing ever went anywhere with Whitewater, but it went forever and ever and ever. Is it the case that we are on day one of the Trump administration, we're like Whitewater times 1,000, and there's nothing even to investigate? It's all right there.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so he has a decision to make. Does he want to deal with these stories throughout his presidency, or does he want to, quote, make America great again? Does he want to pursue his agenda? Because this will become a significant drag on his presidency overall. And, these are legitimate stories. I'm a Republican lawyer. There are Republicans out there talking about this. There are people of all political stripes talking about this. And you can't in one breath say that the Clintons, that Hillary Clinton didn't deserve to be elected because she was so conflicted because of the Clinton Foundation or because of Whitewater, because of other similar deals. And then in the next breath, pursue all sorts of business deals with foreign governments or pursue business deals with shady partners that will inevitably result in scandal. And so he just has to decide whether he wants to treat the presidency as a full-time job and whether he wants to actually pursue his agenda. If he doesn't treat this in a serious way, This will haunt him for the next 4 years.
Finally, Rex Tillerson, the CEO of ExxonMobil, who's the designate for Secretary of State, there's a half-trillion-dollar Arctic oil deal stuck in sanctions. Does the outcome of that become a conflict of interest for a Secretary of State? Is there any way to insulate either Rex Tillerson, Exxon, or the Trump organization from the benefits of that?
Well, I think Tillerson's in a little bit he's in a complicated situation, but it's a little bit different and a little bit more manageable because he does hold currently Exxon stock and some options. But, you know, Exxon is a publicly traded company. So before he takes office, before he becomes the Secretary of State, he can sell those off. There's obviously a public market for that, and that would resolve the conflict. But this kind of gets back to, I think, what has become a complicated situation, because you not only have the president-elect who has a very complex conflict of interest, but you also have Tillerson and Ross and DeVos and McMahon and Ricketts, and the list goes on and on of extremely high net worth individuals. And that's why this is such a complex situation. Usually you only have one of these people, one or two high net worth individuals who are in high-level positions in government. This is an unprecedented challenge.
Matthew Sanderson is a Republican attorney for Kaplan and Drysdale. He spoke to us from Washington, D.C. Thank you, Matthew.
Good to be with you.